It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide on the website MYBradio.com, which is the dedicated site for this show. Additionally, you can pick us up on the 77 WABC app. Again, as we've mentioned for many weeks in a row, a special thank you to the great listenership. We are consistently in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to Nielsen, and we thank you for that, for your trust in us. As the listeners know, each week we feature a C-level executive and discuss with them various questions that are on your mind and that you could then gain by implementing into your business. So, you know, whether it's corporate culture, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, marketing and advertising, time management, and so many other issues, they're all discussed here on this show, Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. As we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you, Pesach Trapper, and Rena, Miriam, Dina, Srilli, the team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays an important support role. Thank you. And to the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. Also want to give a mention of the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, and we have a robust YouTube channel with over, I believe, 60 episodes at this point. If you want to access any of the interviews that we've had on the show, it's all available easily by going to the dedicated website, MYBradio.com, MYBradio.com. And of course, as the listeners know, if you follow me on social media, you get the inside scoop about who our upcoming guests are going to be. On LinkedIn, Y Saflis, Facebook, Yitzhak Saflis, any way you spell it, I'll probably come up. I believe I'm the only Yitzhak Saflis in America, so that's pretty cool. But and then on YouTube, the YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. There you can access, I'm just going to give a brief listing of some of the guests we've had on the show. John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Of course, Captain Sully Sullenberger, that was a famous one. Shep Hyken, the world-renowned customer service expert. Jason Robinson of UPS. Paul Massey of Cushman Wakefield. And the list goes on and on. Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers. Todd Magazine, president of Blink Fitness. And all the other great guests, roughly 120, 130 by now, they're all available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's amazing special guest, the CEO of Evernote, Chris O'Neill. Chris worked as the managing director of Google Canada till a couple years ago when he joined Evernote, becoming the CEO. Now, folks, many of you in the audience know about Evernote, but some don't. But guess what? I drink the Kool-Aid, I use Evernote, and I am one of 220 million people worldwide that use Evernote. So this is a big deal that Chris is here. With Chris at the helm, Evernote has continued its incredible growth and, of course, gained financial stability and improves its product on a regular basis. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition, where we will discuss the lost skill of deep work and how we can regain it, how to continue innovating and adapting to new technologies, and how to grow and scale your business. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Chris O'Neill. Chris, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's fantastic to be here.
Oh, it's really special. You're out of the Bay Area?
I am, yes. Wow. We're based just in Redwood City, just south of San Francisco.
Cool. Cool. How's it going? I understand that there was a weather issue recently. Did that affect the San Francisco area?
Not so much, fortunately.
Thank God.
You know, I'm from Canada, so I miss a little bit of the cold
Ontario?
Weather. I'm
Which
from
part?
Ontario. Yeah.
Ontario.
Yeah.
I've been up there. I was part of Strategic Coach for a number of years.
Oh, fantastic.
So are you familiar with that? Dan Sullivan. We had him on the show. Mm-hmm. They have one of their branches. I think their main location is right by Fraser Street, right by the water in Toronto.
Yeah.
So, now, tell me about yourself. You ran Google Canada. Mm-hmm. You're the CEO of Evernote. Did you dream about this in high school? No, sorry to put you on the spot.
No, the short answer is I didn't. And so I grew up in a very small town. I was born in Toronto in Ontario, as you said. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a really small town. My parents were retailers.
Okay.
So we moved around a lot. But I grew up in a town of 7,000 people. I did go to high school back in Toronto. I was a reasonably good hockey player.
Okay. Hockey, Toronto.
I'm kind of a stereotypically Canadian in that regard.
Okay.
So I was more focused on sports and just living my life. I didn't really have dreams to be the CEO of a company when I was in high school. I was more worried about my slap shot than I was being a CEO.
Now, you went from managing director of Google Canada. Maybe we could even just pause for a second.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So I had a wonderful run at Google. I was there for about 10 years, just shy of 10 years.
Wow.
The highlight of that time at Google was returning to Canada. I was based in the Bay Area, and I was asked to go lead our operations in Canada. And essentially, you're responsible for all the operations in Canada. We had four offices. One of our larger development offices is in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. There's an amazing engineering school there called the University of Waterloo. And, of course, back in the day, BlackBerry was an amazing company, still is to some extent, in that region.
Right.
In Montreal, we had an office, and then in Toronto and Ottawa. So essentially responsible for everything that happened in the country for Google, who would report back every quarter to Larry Page and company to say, hey, what's happening in Canada and what sorts of things do we need to do? So it was a great honor to lead a wonderful brand like Google in my homeland. So I had an incredible, incredible time in that role. We were able to build an incredible team, culture, and a deep sense of purpose in what we were doing and helping Canadians use the web in interesting ways. So I did that from 2010 to about 2014 or so, and then returned back to the Bay Area. And ultimately, of course, I'm at Evernote now. And it was that role up in Canada that was my first exposure to being a true general manager or CEO-like role. And it really both showed that I enjoyed that type of work, but also just that I could contribute and make an impact in a broad sense.
So then you were grabbed at Silicon Valley. And what they started, Evernote started approximately 10 years ago, 07, 08.
Correct.
And then they found you and they grabbed, so what was that like, to make the decision to go from your homeland, but Google Canada,
yeah.
and then to go to a startup in the Bay Area? Now, a serious startup, obviously, a huge startup, but
it starts with my love for the product and the mission that we have as a company, and I can get into that in a bit.
Yes.
So I'm a longtime user. In fact, it was the move back to Canada when I started to really use Evernote to its full potential. I was coordinating an international move with my family. As it turns out, when you move across a border with cars and pets and children, things become complicated. So I needed a place to keep track of it all. It was a pretty chaotic move, and that was really when I took Evernote from being this thing I had on my phone to really starting to use it. So it started there. And then the move to Evernote in this role, it was more intellectual at first. It was like, man, this is an amazing thing. It's a great community, a great product. And I wanted to figure out how to scale the business, scale the community, because I felt it had enormous potential. But it started there, but really, 2.5 years in, it's really the emotional connection that I have to this brand, to our users. You know, I get stories almost every day from people, and I appreciate you sharing how you
share it on the air. So.
Yeah, and that's what really fuels me and the team, is the sense that there's an emotional connection to the brand and the content that people trust in Evernote that really fuels the team. So I was in Tokyo last year, and I met a monk, a Buddhist monk, who was a passionate Evernote user. He traveled to our meetup on his own dime to share how he uses Evernote.
Fascinating.
And at first, I'm like, what does a monk use Evernote for?
Right.
Is it just like a group of
so probably inspiration.
Inspiration. And in his case, he uses it, as it turns out, this ancient temple has meetings like we all do, and he captures the meeting notes. And he also produces a newsletter for the community in and around the temple. So, like, that's an unexpected use case. And I have dozens and dozens and dozens of those types of stories. So really what started off is like, man, this is just an amazing company with a product I love and use and an opportunity to scale things in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like rooted in a deep emotional connection of doing something important. I mean, the mission for us is really, how do we help people remember things? How do we help them turn an idea into action? And then the future is going to be increasingly about how we enable people, groups of people, to work effortlessly together. So really, that's the mission that we're on. We're early in that mission, but we have great potential, and I'm really honored as a leader of this company in this community to really unlock that full potential for the company and ultimately for our community.
And I have to share with you that one thing that I find consistent among all the CEOs and C-level executives that I've interviewed is that they are truly passionate about what they're in. Because if they're not, it just doesn't last.
It's true in life. I mean, you have to be choiceful about the things you spend your precious time and attention on.
Right.
And what I've found is finding things where there's an emotional connection is absolutely essential because, you know, you're going to get buffeted by the winds of life.
Right.
And the way I think of it is like the way sailors used to think about a North Star.
That's right.
Right. You can look up and you can say, oh, gosh, that's where I'm going. Because you are going to get buffeted. So, you know, resilience comes from a connection that's bigger than yourself. And that's really what I think, whether in business or in your personal life, finding ways to be clear about what you want out of life is where things start.
Now, in doing the research for this show, 220 million users. I mean, that's what, 3-4% of mankind. I mean, that's wow. And without a sales team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind sharing the secret?
How's that possible? Well, I think it starts with solving a problem that all humans are wrestling with. The reality is we're all overwhelmed.
Yes.
You know, the professional and the personal contexts of our lives are blurring. And of course, technology has brought us so many great things. That connection has brought amazing things. Let's be clear about that.
Yes.
But it's also brought this sense of feeling overwhelmed.
Yes.
Okay, so anything that can help bring a sense of calm, a sense of control, even a little bit of control, I think is really powerful. And that is what we do. The other thing, when I talk about a Buddhist monk in Tokyo, or you know, we have a nice presence in China and everywhere in the world, this notion is innately human. Right? It transcends time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go back to, you know, scrawling on capes. The idea of capturing your thoughts and then sharing them across time is thousands of years old. It transcends culture. It transcends language. You know,
that's right.
The other part, 83% of our users are outside the United States.
83%.
Yeah.
It's in every language?
Not in every language. We're in 28 different languages. But interesting, with language, over half of the users use the service in a non-English language.
Wow. Now, so getting back in terms of how you've scaled and without a sales team.
Yeah.
So any secrets there?
A couple things. Yeah. It does start with the product solving a real problem.
Yes,
because that allows organic growth, right? So you have a great experience like you have. You've drank the Kool-Aid.
Yes.
How many people have you told about Evernote?
At least, let's say 3 dozen.
You know, three dozen, and then you're
34 to people.
Yeah, so that's how that works. You're going to tell people because you've had a good experience. That's part of it. The other thing, I'm very proud of the team who struck partnerships with cell phone manufacturers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So the device is often bundled with other software and other hardware.
That's great.
So we have done a very nice job of bundling the service together with other things. So that has allowed us to grow through organic and or clever partnerships not have to dig into our pockets and pay. And that's allowed us as a smaller company to have this outsized growth that we've enjoyed for many years.
You're tuned to a special edition. I'm going to call it a special edition because we have such a fantastic guest, even though every single week we have great guests. Chris O'Neill, the CEO of Evernote, is with me live in studio. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Is your business owed money? Are you frustrated with trying to recover past due funds and worried you may not get paid? At Ginny Debt Collection, we know dealing with debt collection can be a stressful endeavor. With more than 15 years serving clients nationwide, Ginny Debt Collection's comprehensive hands-on services help your business efficiently recover past due funds, improve cash flow, and develop strong customer relationships. Call us at 917-400-3253. Or visit GinniDebtCollection.com. That's G-I-N-I DebtCollection.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at MYBRadio.com or, of course, on the 77 WABC app. My guest this evening is none other than the CEO of Evernote, Chris O'Neill. Again, Chris, thank you so much. The pressures on your daily schedule, I can't even begin to imagine. And to take time out to share your wisdom with the listeners of Mind Your Business is very special.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Now, Evernote has continued to evolve over the past 10 years, and soon I'll get to my own story, how I now came to have drinking. Well, I drank the Kool-Aid a couple years ago, and I'm certainly a very big fan. As I mentioned, have referred it to at least 36 people. Let's talk about how Evernote can help someone even scale their business. Now, again, that's not the inherent function of the tool, but by someone in the C-suite or someone who's looking to get ahead in business, by having this tool, it will just enable them to scale their business.
Yeah, so it starts with the notion of, like, our minds are overloaded. So anything we can do to offload the things in our mind, right, so that we can focus on the things that are at hand, it really starts there. So the lives of a C-suite person, as you well know, and your listeners can imagine, is about constantly context switching. Right, you're in a board meeting. You
right.
are doing a one-on-one. You are reviewing product, and on and on. So you need a place to capture your thoughts, big and small, right? So that's really where it starts. So you want to remember the things to then follow up on.
That's right.
So a lot of the problems today in a company is, like, you're meeting overloaded, right? Or
right.
So your time is so compressed. But really what happens is people are so darn busy that they can't find the signal in the noise of everything, right? So what really matters, and how do you stay focused on that?
Mm-hmm.
So starting with, like I said earlier, being clear about what you want out of life, but similarly out of what you want from your business. So I'm very big proponent of being clear about the 3 to 5 things that have to happen in any one year or any one quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts there for the company. If you're clear on those, and people can store those things in Evernote, as I do,
mm-hmm.
and then say, oh, great. Ask yourself every day or every meeting, what are we doing to move ourselves further along to those goals? What's the very discrete, smallest action step that we can take? And then when you're in the course of your day, in the course of your life,
mm-hmm.
capturing the ideas and capturing your thoughts that say, hey, how can we further move towards a specific goal? And then the last element of this, where people do this really, really well, is have a system for review, right? It doesn't, there's no one size fits all.
Right.
But at the end of the week, I usually carve out a couple hours on a Friday afternoon to say, hey, how am I doing against these goals, right? Are we making the progress? Me personally,
mm-hmm.
and the company.
Team.
towards it. And oftentimes I say, hey, does this goal still matter, right? Because I want to make sure that the scarce amount of time, energy, and resources are put to the highest and best use at any one point in time. So it starts with being clear on what you're doing, capturing ideas throughout the course of your day and week, and then having a system, if you will, to review and be honest about progress you're making or not making so that you don't forget things along the way. And you offload this thing from your brain so you can really free up your full creativity.
So it still requires that discipline. I mean, that's still, it always requires some level of discipline.
It does. I think, you know, some greatness doesn't happen without discipline, right? And this is part of the problem, I think, in society with technology, it's constantly distracting us.
Right.
And you're distracted dozens and dozens and dozens of times throughout the course of a day. And that's not good, right? The disciplined folks are going to be the ones that can tune out the noise, really be clear about what matters, and stay on track to delivering, again, small steps against those larger goals.
I'll just share with you this story, my backstory to how I found Evernote. Mm. I was having a conversation, I believe it was on some evening, with Pesach Trapper. He's the VP here who runs the operation here at Bottom Line. Uh-huh. And I shared with him a frustration that, you know, thank God, I'm like most people, blessed that ideas come all hours of the day and night. Mm-hmm. And just there was a level of frustration of, where do I capture all the information?
Yeah.
So, you know, you scribble it on a paper. Great. So then, but then you have a pile of papers. What happens then? And it needed to be cloud-based, because if I wanted to capture it on my phone or on a Surface, an iPad, my computer, I needed to all sync. Mm-hmm. I believe he had mentioned Evernote, and then around the same time, I was schmoozing with a client of ours, Mark Bodner, the CEO of L&R Distributors. Mm-hmm. He runs a major operation, 1,000 employees, you know, nationwide. He has a couple of centers nationwide, and they both had said, "You need Evernote. That's exactly, try it." And he also takes pictures on it and stores it and categorizes it. And he's also someone that has a lot on his mind. I mean, he's running a major operation. Mm-hmm. And then I got it, and I started to see how easy it was to use. Mm-hmm. Now, this actually builds up to another question that I wanted to ask you, is that it seems that it's quite powerful. There's a lot of that it can do under the hood. Mm-hmm. But yet at the same time, products like this become widespread if they're very easy to use. Mm-hmm. How do you merge that, and how do you communicate to the public? Say, you know, it's a great and simple tool, but yet, if you want to go under the hood, it could do so much more for you.
It's a huge opportunity, but also a challenge, as you point out, because we want to make it simple. You think about our business model, it's a freemium business model, so the vast majority of people use our product for free, which is great, because people can use it, start on it without any friction. On that side, but really we want to keep it designed as simply as possible to start. But you're right; people use it in so many different ways. Right? I've touched on just a couple so far. That is both a challenge and an opportunity for us, right? To simplify. So really, this is where technology can come in. So things like machine learning can be our friend, not in a abstract way, but in a way that says, "Hey, we can detect some patterns that say, hey, if you're a particular profession, maybe a lawyer who uses something, maybe we can suggest a template or something for you to use. All the other lawyers tend to do these sorts of things with Evernote. How can we get you down that path just by giving you a little bit of guidance up front, a little bit of, I don't want to say training wheels, but you get what I mean, just a little bit of extra help, and then you can kind of go off on your own. The other part of this, you know, in design-centric design world, user design-centric is the notion that you can do progressively reveal more complexity. So one area where we're spending a lot of time is being clear about, we say me and we. So my Evernote, people use that word, which is
beautiful.
Which is wonderful. Yes, yeah. So when am I using it for to serve my purposes and pursue my goals versus our goals together. Okay. So one aspect is to say, hey, when do you integrate with other people to make the product more powerful? Though, so that's a very distinct choice. But the whole notion is great. As simple as possible and introduce complexity as the user demands
it. Point.
But also educate them along the way so that they, you know, you and I were just showing, you know, looking at some different ways to use it.
Right.
And how do we make that a little easier in the flow so that you can just discover those things on your own?
Now, most technological companies focus on the rise of social networking. Mm-hmm. Evernote focuses on managing information overload. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would ask it this way, you know, why do you feel that information overload is the most important problem? You touched on this earlier, mm-hmm. but I just still want to comment it. I mean, it's kind of a duh question because, like, information overload is probably the single biggest challenge that any executive faces. Mm-hmm. Yet at the same time, you seem to solve it because, as you said, you're then allowing the mind to relax, not to carry. I mean, there's only a certain amount of things that our mind can carry, quote unquote,
yeah.
and offshore them into Evernote.
Correct. So go back in time. Like our minds, like I actually was telling you, I was reading this book, Sapiens, and it talks right. about how humans have evolved. And the reality is our minds, our physiology is not well suited for a world where we're constantly being interrupted.
Right.
We're getting dopamine hits
all
the time. Right. So it's like the physiology of the human brain is actually not well suited for this. So it really starts there. So if you think about it, you know, way back in time, it was like, oh, that's where the enemy, that's where like predators are. That's
right.
bad.
Right.
This is where food is. So our minds actually are well designed over time to do those sorts of things. We're not well designed for today's world where we're constantly being bombarded. So we need help. And there are tools. I think Evernote is one of them. You can mm-hmm. offload, to your point, so you can just remove a little bit of that. Like
right.
that feeling some people get when they cross something off a to-do list, either digitally or otherwise, is that little sense of,
right.
just a little
right.
bit of sense. And that's what we're aiming for.
Now, you touched on this, and I would love to talk about it, the concept of deep work, mm-hmm. which is a lost art.
Yeah.
You know, the concept where, you know, I think it was Bill Gates who used to go even 2 weeks a year
yep.
offsite, my understanding is that maybe five people knew how to reach him, and that was it, mm-hmm. and he was able to focus. They say Warren Buffett reads at one point he was mm-hmm. reading 8 hours a day, and now he's down to 6 hours a day, which
yeah.
is still
yeah.
incredible. How important is that? So, and of course, Evernote solves it by then taking all those little hits and offshoring it. How important is that for a person to really scale and to grow? To say, I need a timeout,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to now take a day, an hour, whatever the time frame is, and to focus just on new vision, new horizons, but I'm going to tune out the noise.
It's very important. So deep work is actually a term that was coined by Cal Newport, who's an author. I highly recommend his work. It's quite incredible. But deep work, just define it, it's basically the notion where you spend an extended period of time working on something that's cognitively very difficult, like hard.
You have
to
really concentrate.
Really concentrate. And the opposite, of course, is shallow work. So shallow work would be social networking and like constantly interrupting our email. Like, so you're right. It has now become a bit of a lost art. The reality, however, over time, is anything that really was a breakthrough required a level of deep thought and deep work, right? Edison, right?
Right.
Benjamin Franklin. You mentioned more modern day examples of Bill Gates and
right.
going away. And what they're doing is allowing their minds to associate and really connect the dots on really complicated problems. And it's really hard to do that when you're being interrupted 70, 80, 100 times a day by social media notifications. So a couple different things is very practical things that I started to do, and I was at first a little alarmed, was just to measure the amount of time that you're actually engaged in deep work. I was embarrassed. I was spending less than 90 minutes a week
wow.
in deep work.
And I don't think I'm alone if people actually were really doing it. So I now carve out 2 hours, at least 2 hours every Thursday morning. And that's my time. Like, I do a workout early in the morning, and I just spend time, you know, turn off all my notifications, turn off every, my assistant knows where to find me in case of an emergency, so does my wife. But it's my time. So tracking your deep work time across a week would be a very good place to start. Some other practical tips, just turn off notifications on mobile devices. 99% of them are just really triggering a dopamine reaction that is not healthy for you to basically follow up on something that can wait. So those are at least two places. But the notion of deep work is real. And how Evernote facilitates it, to your point, is when you get something in the moment that you want to come back to, throw it into Evernote. And over time, we're going to use technology to help guide you, right? Help organize that a little bit easier so you don't have to remember it. That's a good place to start. And then what people typically do is come back later in the day or later in the week when they actually do want to say, okay, great, I'm researching a show, I'm writing a book, I'm getting ready for a board presentation. So how do I actually engage in deep work to think, okay, I have all these bits and pieces. And I think of it sometimes as like manufacturing. So it's like raw materials, work in progress, and then a finished good. Evernote's very good at the raw materials and the work in progress. So how do you take these nuggets of insights or a, you know, you're talking about late night idea or middle of the night. Yeah, because the thing about ideas is interesting. You don't know when you capture them whether they'll be the most insignificant idea or potentially Nobel Prize winning idea.
Such a great point. And
ideas don't start and end and finish as a great idea. They require investment. They require nurturing.
Like a seed.
Like a seed. That's a great metaphor. So that's really the notion of deep work, and it's super important for, I think, doing meaningful things. I think the other area is deep work alone as an individual is important, but what we're finding is how do you facilitate deep work across teams so teams can come together and do meaningful things? Because the reality in today's world, we have complex problems to solve, and none of them are going to be solved by someone working solo. You need to collaborate. You need to partner across disciplines, across different skill sets to get things done that matter.
My guest this evening is none other than the CEO of Evernote, Chris O'Neill. Also, I don't want to forget a special shout out to Alex and Taylor that behind the scenes helped orchestrate landing such a fantastic guest. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Who's coordinating that fundraiser? Yes, hold on one second. Did anyone follow up with that donor?
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Is your business owed money? Are you frustrated with trying to recover past due funds and worried you may not get paid? At Ginny Debt Collection, we know dealing with debt collection can be a stressful endeavor. With more than 15 years serving clients nationwide, Ginny Debt Collection's comprehensive hands-on services help your business efficiently recover past due funds, improve cash flow, and develop strong customer relationships. Call us at 917-400-3253. Or visit GinniDebtCollection.com. That's G-I-N-I DebtCollection.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at MYBRadio.com. We do not have 220 million listeners. I wish I did. But the CEO of Evernote knows how to reach 220 million users, and that's why this is a very special opportunity that I'm interviewing Chris O'Neill here on tonight's edition of Mind Your Business. Again, Chris, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
Really special. Yeah. Now, you've more than doubled your subscribers in the past 2 years. That means, let's go back 2 years ago, roughly 110 million users, which is still nothing to sneeze at, and now you're at 220. any secrets at like scaling? Like, how'd you accomplish this?
We talked about how we've grown primarily through organic means.
Yes.
In terms of our business model, like the subscriber base, vast majority of our users use the product for free. Now, there's a portion of our users who want the full experience of Evernote. They want access to all the different features that we have. And we provide that in exchange for money, right? So we're really clear about that. And our business model, I believe, is very straightforward. And I really think it's a trend in the future where it's not going to be indirect making money in some other means. It's going to say, hey, you do something of value in the world, and I want the full extent of that value. And in return, I'll give you some money for that. So one of the things that people told us was anywhere and anytime access, right? So we want people to have unlimited use of their devices, right? Some people want access when they're on an airplane. So those are examples of premium features that people deeply value, as well as some of our integrations. We really have this belief that as an independent company, we want to play well with others. We realize that people use a variety of tools, right? We're all different, and that's great. You use a different set of tools than I do.
Right.
And that's reality.
Right.
And especially more younger generations, millennials and digital natives, like they're going to use lots of different applications and combine them in ways that make sense to them. So part of what we offer, too, is our integrations, first-class integrations, you know, with Google, with Microsoft, LinkedIn, Salesforce, and many, many others. We recently announced an integration with Slack. So that's a core part of what we do as well. But we think that that constellation of value is real. And people have voted very clearly to exchange value in a way, which I described.
Wow. Now, since you've become the CEO of Evernote, a lot has happened, including the fact that it's been documented. You recruited a new leadership team.
Uh-huh.
That's not an easy feat.
It's not.
Yeah, so to the extent that you could share, could tell us a little bit about that process?
Yeah, so it starts with the premise that the team you build is the company you build. It's the most important thing. It's trite. It's kind of obvious, but it's so true. The people that thrive at early stages of companies, you know, grinding out product market fit, tend to be different than the people that really take a company from, you know, 100 million users to 200 million users all over the globe. It's just a different mindset and a different set of skills. So one of the things that I've been very fortunate throughout my career is to work with incredible people. And I take a long view on talent. So if you look at the leadership team that we've built at Evernote, couple things, one or two degrees of separation from my in my network. I mean, these are some of the people I've worked with for many, many years, and that's always an added benefit. But more generally, these are people who are functionally very deep. You know, our marketing person knows marketing incredibly well. Our design leader has done design for many, many years. Our product leader, et cetera. All the different functions. These are people who are very, very deep. They also have a mindset not only to the scale, but to work together. Right, so in sports, I learned this early on. I was a decent hockey player, as I said, and I remember this game. I scored 3 goals.
Okay,
but we lost. We lost the game. It was 6-4, and I was all proud. I'm like, I scored 3 goals. All right, great. My dad pulled me aside and he said, "Son, you know, what are you so happy about?" I said, "I scored 3 goals." He said, "Did you see the score on the board?" He said, "Don't forget this. You play for the front of the jersey, not the back." And that lesson stuck with me throughout life. And that's a mindset that the team brings, right? We have this principle called first team. Our first team is a leadership team. And we take our functional hats off, and we do things together. We make decisions for the best of the company. And then we start to think about function. Then we start to think about the other second and third order effects. Those are the characteristics of the leadership team. I'd add another part too. If you look at some of the experiences, right? Not only have they seen world class, but they've got something to prove. They have a fire in their belly that says, "Hey, I want a shot here. I might have been second in command at my old company, and now I'm at the table, and I want to make an impact. And I believe in this product. We all use the product as you'd expect." And we believe in this mission like deeply. So I'm really proud of the team. And that if I literally had to say what's the thing I'm most proud of over the last couple of years, it is that.
You know, it's interesting. One of the guests we had on the show a couple of weeks ago was the COO of Peloton, one of the founders.
Yeah, they're doing great.
And he talked about, of course, how everyone there who's part of the company uses the product.
Yeah, yeah.
But they also, because they use the product and they were involved, they identified some of the areas that could be improved because they were – they didn't just – like in, their team was the R&D.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm sure happens on a regular basis by people using it and then saying, you know, wouldn't this feature be excellent?
Yeah, that certainly happens. And I swear, I don't mean to drive the team crazy, but I give more feedback and file more bugs than anyone in the company. I think that's part of, you know, see, I carry three different devices. Yeah. I have every platform, every device. And that's exactly why. This is something that we can connect to. Viscerally, because we use it. I use it like every waking hour I'm using the product. Now, there's a potential drawback to that. Okay. And I challenge the team constantly. So I say we have to have the beginner's mindset. So this is I did this yesterday. I constantly, about every other month, I sign up for our product as if I'm brand new.
That's so smart.
And every time I do that, I'm like, oh, man. I try to check my bias as someone who's used this product for years and years and years. And that's a challenge, right? To basically keep that beginner's mindset in mind. I have relatively young children, 9 and 12.
Beautiful.
And I love to see them try to use the product because they're just thinking differently.
That's right.
So, you know, I had this like, you know, the future is here. It's just unevenly distributed. It's a very famous quote. It's true. And if you want an early indicator of where the world's going, just look at kids and how they use technology. My son just got his first phone. And we try to limit it very, very tightly, to be clear. But he uses technology differently than I do. Mm-hmm. And I learn from that.
I just have to bring up another example just because I'm having such great conversation here. Mm-hmm. A few weeks back, we had the CEO of Connex, Michael Arreton. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how his child at home had come up with a fascinating concept that he wound up pitching to Nintendo. I mean, he discussed it here on the air.
Oh, wow.
But it happened because of his kid that said, why can't we do some type of virtual 3D Kinex experience? And it was his child that came up with the idea.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Just like
it's
you
that,
said.
It's that beginner's mindset.
Yeah.
And it's hard. So scale is great, right? So you have people who've been there, done that.
Right.
The risk, however, is that been there, done that.
Right.
And
familiar, and you're just in your comfort zone.
Right. And what got you there won't get you there. What got you here won't get you to the next phase. So, it's constant push and pull. And that's, I think, part of a job of a leader is to see out around the corner and really come back and push the team out of that comfort zone. And I think that's true in life. I think it's true in business, right? You have to go into that area. You know, Larry Page had a great expression at Google. He says, you have to be uncomfortably comfortable. Right.
I love it. You have
setting
to be
goals.
Uncomfortably comfortable.
It's great. Yeah, it's kind of an interesting turn of phrase, but I believe that to be true.
Yeah, if I may, memories that come to mind from your experience at Google, Larry Page?
Sure. Like that was one. In setting goals in developing product, you should really push yourself hard. The other one related to that is he would use, and Sergey would use the expression, think 10x, not 10%.
Think 10x.
10x. Like something,
right,
make
right
something
10 times.
10 times better than not just 10%. And a lot of my philosophy on building teams was really honed in my time at Google. A lot of attention paid to the recruiting process. You know, the nuances of culture. It's not one thing. It's usually a constellation of things that come together to make great companies. Those would be some of the things. And I guess the last I'd say is this concept they called OKRs, which is a fancy way of setting goals, objectives and key results. Now, Google didn't invent this. This has been around for a long time.
Right.
But they certainly they got a lot of attention for really deploying it in today's era. And I brought a lot of those things to Evernote. So we're clear, right? Everyone in the company has a sense as to what our purpose is because we remind them of it all the time, not in a lecturing or preachy type way, but by sharing stories like we do. And that's how humans learn, is through stories. That's just how our brains are wired. But it's also being really clear that we're going to set audacious goals. And it's far better to set an audacious goal and fall just short than it is to set some little,
Right, the little
layups, if you will.
Right.
And those are some of the things I've carried forward. And then it really is, just to state the obvious again, come back to the team, right? You need to hire amazing people that are connected and have a deep sense of purpose, and then are set up with the opportunity to pursue that purpose with everything they've got. And that's what people want in today's world. And I think we're doing a nice job of delivering that.
I love that line about from your dad, play for the front of the jersey, not the back.
Yeah.
Great line.
Yeah.
My guest this evening is none other than the CEO of Evernote, Chris O'Neill. You're listening to this tonight's edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Polling data, anyone? Hold on. We'll get right on that. Election day is Tuesday?
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
You're tuned to Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. And of course, you can get us anywhere on the 77 WABC app. And of course, around the world at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. And that is the dedicated site for this show. You can access every single guest we've had. The interview we had with Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach, and every single guest, Jeffrey Hazlett and Jay Baer, and the list goes on and on. All that wealth of information is available to you for free by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. My guest this evening is none other than the CEO of Evernote, Chris O'Neill. He oversees a product that's used by 220 million people worldwide. That is a huge number. An equally huge number is the Evernote recently moved over. I mean, they not so recently, but moved to cloud-based storage. My understanding is that, I'm going to read this here, you've overseen the migration of 3 petabytes of data. Now, if you don't know what that means, it may sound like, okay, 3 petabytes, great. I've heard of megabytes, gigabytes. When we started Bottom Line Marketing Group 25 years ago, they invented at in the early 90s, the SyQuest drives. I'm not trying to people remember that. The SyQuest drive, you bought it for $100 a piece, and it held 44 megabytes. Okay. Now we're talking about 3 petabytes. Now, a petabyte is 1,000 terabytes. It makes the mind numb. Maybe you could just give some perspective to this. 3 petabytes?
Yeah, it's a lot. One frame of reference would be like the Library of Congress. Think of every book in the Library of Congress if it were digitized. We're talking 300x that.
So 300 just times the information in every single book in the Library of Congress.
Yes, yes. So last year, 2017, our users trusted us with 1.37 billion notes. Right? 1.37 billion notes.
Wow.
Some of those had pictures, some of those.
And some of those were mine.
Yes, and we're very thankful for that. So it's a lot. And really, we were able to take advantage of this cloud. This is a revolution that's happening, right? Amazon, of course, is the leader. Google and Microsoft are really allowing companies to not worry about managing their own data center. Right. We had to in the day because what we were delivering, our value to the world was this ability to capture ideas anywhere and anytime. The word cloud didn't exist 10 years ago in the way that we needed it to.
Right.
So we needed to basically build our own cloud. Okay, but fast forward 8, 9, 10 years, right, there are companies that do this far better than we could as
your own storage service center. Right.
Correct. So we wanted to basically take those folks and have them do other things. I mean, we've got a long list of features we'd like to build and a long list of things that we want to do to take our company to the next level. And it would be better use of their time and energy and vast talent to do that as opposed to try and manage a bunch of boxes and servers, right? So that was really the genesis of that. And it's been a really important move for us to really speed up our ability to develop product.
Moving along, AI, it's on everyone's mind.
Yeah.
Now, again, people shouldn't be nervous. AI is never going to take out humans, but there are discussions about how much it will affect the workforce. Mm-hmm. But on a positive way, how has AI integrated with Evernote?
Sure. So I'll make a distinction, AI and ML, machine learning.
Okay.
And the company, interestingly, was started by a Russian named Stepan Patrikov, who was a handwriting recognition expert.
Okay.
So if you go to a postal service, his technology is responsible for reading handwriting and translating it into meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that in our product from the very beginning. We can recognize handwriting. So if you take a picture of a whiteboard, for example, you're having a brainstorming session for a campaign, for example, you write on the whiteboard, you take a picture and upload it into Evernote, you can then search on the handwriting. That's machine learning. That's basically saying that curve is equivalent to a C. That's how it's in the product today. No, fast forward as to how we can use technologies like ML and AI to serve our mission. Couple different ways. So you have your ideas, and right now I'm not happy with the friction that exists because you have to do too much, right? You have to type, you have to write, take pictures, and then you have to think about where to organize it.
Right.
Imagine a world, and we're experimenting with this today,
where
you can...
You heard it here first. Okay.
You can capture your ideas at the speed of thought. So voice, we touched on this a little bit.
Right.
So we do an integration with Siri as a first step in this direction. So voice is a very human thing. What
of
are
course.
We doing? We're using voice to communicate with one another. Turns out we can talk much faster than we can type or write.
Right.
So it's a very natural human interface, and I believe it's the next frontier for how we'll interact with devices. So you think of Echo, think of the HomePod, which will come out this year, et cetera. This is not some fad. This is how the future of interaction with devices will happen. So we're literally trying to invest in speech to text so that when you're in a meeting, I see a world where you'll record that meeting with permission of everyone.
Right.
This is not about spying on people, but it's just like, hey, it's going to be much more efficient. We're going to record this. We're going to transcribe it to text and then ultimately understand the context. So in our board meetings, we basically capture our notes as we normally do, and then we translate them into action items using machine learning. Because we've trained on the previous agendas and the previous board materials, and it's a much, much more efficient way to ensure that the next time we meet, we have captured all the action items from the previous time we met, so it just makes it much more efficient. Another example, imagine you metaphorically were doing laundry and the clothes were automatically folded. How do those clothes get into your closet, into the right drawers?
Right.
Just imagine if that or something were to be invented along that way. That's a metaphor perhaps for how we're thinking about auto-organization so that you can organize your content in Evernote without actually having to physically organize. You can search for content without actually having to remember the keywords. So we can really use technology to serve you and make your life much, much more easy, much easier.
Wow.
So that's the notion. Imagine if you had your own virtual chief of staff, right?
The
someone who understood what was important to you and could say, hey, this is exactly what you should be focused on right now. That's how we're planning to use these technologies, again, to serve our mission.
Wow. In the preparation for the show, I came across a quote of yours. I love to be underestimated.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about it.
Yeah, in sports, I wasn't the best player. In school, I wasn't the best student. I tried harder, I think. It's a little like the Avis tagline.
Right, try harder. Right.
So I learned a certain sense of tenacity, and I'm okay with other people getting the glory and being the stars and then really just letting my work speak for it. And I think a sense of like being underestimated is okay with me. Because I'm focused, I know what's important to me, I know what's important to our company, and I'm going to tune out the noise and stay focused on that. When you're underestimated, the ability to do that's easier, right? And that's true of companies like Evernote, who are solving a real problem. You know, we're 10 years old, which doesn't sound like an old company, but in Silicon Valley, that's getting to be older. So there's always going to be something newer and shinier, but really we're sticking to our knitting. We have a very clear purpose in the world, and we're very good at it. So being underestimated allows us to just make progress without being, you know, whipsawed and distracted by all the noise.
If I may, I mean, one of my questions was going to be a goals and visions for the future, which you've tackled actually with AI.
Yeah.
But another point that you just brought up, which is so important, and I've heard you talk about this on the interview with CNET, about the importance that of a company being singularly focused on their mission.
Yeah.
And Evernote is. I mean, so you don't also make 20 separate other types of tools, and then you're very, very focused on exactly that mission of what Evernote brings to the table. How important is that?
I think in life and in business, relentless focus. Do one thing and do it better than anybody else. I think that's a bit of a
relentless focus.
Yeah, like that. You just need that. So we can just make decisions through a very clear lens. Right? We have a set of values that are also important for us too. Not only the what we do, but the how we do it is important. But really being focused is absolutely essential. I mean, I happen to think if you start to, you know, multitasking is a myth, right? You're trying to do two things, I think it halves your IQ, right? You're trying to do two things, I think it halves your IQ. So I think just being really focused is you know, what is demanded in this world today, I believe.
As we wrap up this amazing interview, and Chris, I mean, this is very, very special.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts in the last 60 seconds that you'd like to share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Yeah. Those who have had Evernote in another, I'd encourage them to come back. We've been investing, you know, relentlessly focused on the product quality, so it's never been higher quality. And then what you can expect in 2018 is to take a product that you know and love for an individual user, mm-hmm. and we're really focused on how we can make it more powerful when you're using it with other people. So that's something we're quite excited about, and you'll hear more from us throughout the course of 2018.
The voice that you heard was Chris O'Neill, CEO of Evernote, right here on Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business, right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.